Welcome to the Radio Facts Radio Show. This week, we'll talk about Zimmerman's tasteless quest to milk the Trayvon Martin tragedy, Warner Music Group's recent arrest of a former employee for embezzlement. Why don't older female artists have the same hits like older male artists? Which urban PD's job is in jeopardy? Why do black women have an addiction to hair? DJs and PD and RadioFacts.com this week, Saturday Night Live's Hardcore Truth about Black History Month. I'm Kevin Ross. For questions or comments about the Radio Facts Radio Show, contact me at Kevin@RadioFacts.com.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
My name is Kevin Ross, and I graduated from the School of Performing Arts. I went from there to working in the industry as a DJ, moved up from a DJ to a program director, worked in several markets around the country, including The Beat during its heyday in Los Angeles. And I then started my own publication, Radio Facts, in the mid-90s. And Radio Facts has since turned into the leading industry site, RadioFacts.com. I'm also the host of the brand new podcast, The Radio Facts Radio Show.
Everyone calls me Jan. I have my own marketing and management firm, the Lewis Cortez Group, and I'm a former programmer.
I'm the poetess from Los Angeles.
I'm a radio producer and broadcast.
I'm Dwayne McClary. I'm a consultant to Epic Records, Def Jam Records, Cash Money Records, amongst others. And previously I was at MCA Records, Geffen Records, and Universal Motown Records.
And I'm Paul Porter, old radio head from Boston, New York, D.C., worked at BET, worked at different places, and now I'm a rebel with a different cause and have a website, RapRehab.com.
I often wonder how friends become lovers when both are so afraid. We're way beyond the point of returning.
Urban programmers, that's music from Shalia, I'll Never Let You Go, impacting February 24th and 25th.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
So let's talk about the George Zimmerman and the DMX fight, and especially on Trayvon Martin's birthday, which is so incredibly disrespectful. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
First of all, my problem with it is calling this guy a celebrity when he's a murderer. That is my biggest issue with it. Why is he considered a celebrity?
Well, because he has brand recognition and everybody knows. And unfortunately, there are, you know, a couple hundred thousand rednecks that are going to support him and donate it to his fund. So it's capitalism at its worst.
I'm shocked that George Zimmerman is even getting in the fights with anyone. I mean, he's had some bad press ever since the whole Trayvon Martin verdict. So the fact that he's even in the midst of doing something that's kind of involving conflict is kind of a shock to me. I mean, I would think that, you know, he would kind of try to stay up out of anything like that.
And let me just say this. I completely agree with you, Poetess, that he is absolutely not considered or should not be considered a celebrity, even though we make some of the worst figures in the United States celebrities because of their, you know, because that's just who they are. Unfortunately, Jeffrey Dahmer might be considered a celebrity. However, I will say I think that he is getting in the ring with the right one. I want DMX to draw blood.
Well, you know, it's kind of like he's milking it, and it's not like he's trying to be a celebrity and leave the other stuff behind. Because I'm trying to figure out, why does it have to be a black man that he has to fight? I think he was terrified of the game. And he may have a better chance with DMX because DMX has a tarnished reputation himself. Of course, he's not a murderer, but with the drug issues and everything else. I think that it's going to be extremely well watched. I don't know what network or what how they're going to produce it, but unfortunately, it's going to be huge. And I looked online today, Time, USA Today, several major publications didn't even mention that today is Trayvon's birthday. They talked about the fight.
Right.
Now they say there was 15,000 people who wanted to fight him. So I guess DMX won out.
Right. And there's even a story online from the Orlando newspaper that Zimmerman wanted to fight Kanye. So, I mean, I think, unfortunately, the sickness is that this might be a celebrity piece to him or a joke to him. But at the end of the day, I mean, I personally know a whole lot of people who would love to get in there and get their hands on him. So if this is what it's going to be in there with the right one.
It's money. That's all it is. He needs money.
Yeah. And that art must not be selling too well. But you know, the funny thing is that he said he wanted to fight Kanye because Kanye beats up innocent people. I guess that's worse than killing innocent people.
Wow. Yeah, he's got a problem.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. Go on in the ring and just get in there with the right one. That's all I'm saying. At this point, go on.
Well, DMX said he's going.
I mean, I'm just shocked the guy's not trying to stay out of harm's way, really. I mean, when Bernhardt gets, you know, shot those black kids on the subway, Bernhardt disappeared and ran away. You know, I'm just shocked he's not taking the same approach, that he's just trying to, I mean, still draw attention to himself. Is just really just amazing.
That's smart. Right. It's not smart. Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a bunch of guys, if he wants to fight, there's a bunch of guys in jail that's waiting for him. You know, when he goes to jail,
they're going to give him a payday. That's all he's looking for. Where is George Zimmerman going to work again? He's not. He's got to get these lump sums of cash to survive with the lifestyle he wants, buying guns and traveling around. This is, you know, everybody should stop talking about it so it won't happen, instead of, you know, making it bigger and bigger, because it's going to be big, and he's going to walk away with a couple $100,000. Watch.
Yeah. Well, I know he, like
and
I said,
he's probably not going to get hurt.
No.
And I don't know.
By DMX.
He lost to Trayvon, first of all, and Trayvon was a young kid, so although I think DMX is a poor choice, he might have a chance of whooping Zimmerman, but I just think it's a bunch of crap.
Well, he wins either way. I want to move on to another subject about another celebrity that's been in the news this week.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Pam Oliver, what is the deal with everybody getting on this woman about her hair?
And the sad part is us getting on her hair.
Right.
It's black people talking about her hair. And I think it's offensive, and I think it's wrong. When do they ever get on white women and their hair on television?
I totally agree. I remember when Gabby Douglas won in the Olympics, and that was black people's reaction, talking about this young girl's hair.
Right.
And I'm like, this girl just made history. She just made history in the Olympics, history in her sport. And, I mean, y'all are talking about the woman's hair. Wow. I mean, there's so much more that's important here, and that's what we focus on.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think our shallow mentality in this day and age, unfortunately, becomes about the unnecessary things. You know, if you ever think about it, if you work in a company with a whole lot of black people, and this is just I'm just being very frank, versus working in a company with a whole lot of white people will come to work looking like they just got out of bed, but they're going to get the job done.
Absolutely.
So we focus on, girl, look at what she got on. Man, did you hear about what happened to her last night? Why does her hair look like that? You can't even get to the work before you can get through all of this stuff. So I'm not surprised that Pam Oliver's hair has trended several Sundays, you know, football Sundays. But, you know, it's unfortunately just the world we live in when we have a crabs in a barrel mentality. It's, you know, we talk about you if you look good. We talk about you if you don't look good.
So if we don't say anything, then you're batting 1,000. But you know what? I have a friend that's a trainer, and he said that black women come to the gym when it's too late, but their hair always looks good.
Wow. Yeah. I remember, Kevin, you and I had that same conversation before. I remember you mentioned that same exact quote to me, and yeah. There's some validity to that.
We're so unfortunately focused on the visual, on the look, and that's a part of it. You should look presentable. You should bring your best. You should look like you got it going on, even if you don't. But we unfortunately focus on that, and that just sometimes is to our own demise.
Now, speaking of women in the media, let's talk about radio stations and women hosting morning shows. Now, I sent some information out earlier this week where I said that we have two women in urban radio, and that's Rashan Ali in Atlanta at the Streets and Dee Dee McGuire at KKDA in Dallas. Why, after all this time, are we still not hearing more women on the morning shows, hosting morning shows at radio?
My thought is that they just need a chance. You know, I think that a lot of program directors, whether they be men or women, mostly men, though, because, and I don't know what the numbers are, I would venture to say that there are probably more male program directors programming radio stations than females.
Right.
However, I think that due to the history of things, you know, coming up from your Bob Walls to your Tom Joyners and guys like that, men have always sat in that seat. So therefore, that's the assumption that you absolutely need the man to anchor the show, and then you have the female that is your sidekick or your co-host or whatever you want to call it. So I just think that you need people that think outside of the box and understand the power, you know, the power of a personality, whether it's male or female, whoever it is that can draw those people and that can carry that show and can quarterback the whole show for 4 or 5 hours, that's the person that you need to sit in that seat. And so I think it's just a matter of a programmer taking a chance on someone like a Rashan, someone like a Dee Dee. And there are more women out there who absolutely could do it hands down. They just need the opportunity.
So, Jim, what you're saying is it's not going to happen. But she said, you need folks to think outside the box. You are talking about black radio.
Well, maybe if they listen to this show and they go,
okay.
Can I add that here on in California, we do have two morning show females. We have Pat Prescott on The Wave, and we have Ray Nell in the Bay Area on KBLX.
Okay.
You know, I forgot about The Wave, because they haven't defined themselves yet. Are they defining themselves as do they have a format yet?
They have the right name, The Wave.
I think I would have thought they would.
I hear that they're going to go more, I guess, urban
adult.
But I mean, they have Greg Mack over there now, and
Frankie Ross,
a few people that they've hired from the
KJLH.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and KJLH as well.
And remember too, folks gave. You know, during the Wendy Williams morning era, there were a couple more morning shows back in the day. And it's, you know, I think it could happen again.
Okay. So then you agree with Jamila, it just needed an opportunity. Let's talk.
Yeah, I just need some folks to die. Once folks die, some of the younger bloods come up.
I didn't say that now.
Well, I'm just saying the transition. It's going to take time. It's going to take like 10, 15 years.
Oh, nice.
Because the leaders have to change.
Well, you know what? Actually, Paul is right, but in a sense, it works to our advantage because that's mostly because of Steve and Tom and Ricky. They basically have stopped the transition of people moving up in radio, so that allows older people to remain. I mean, because there's some PDs out there that definitely have to be in their 60s.
Right.
And 20 years ago, that would have been unheard of. You would have been on your way out by the time you were 40. So perhaps that works to our advantage. It doesn't do much for new people coming in. One more question about females, and I want to talk about artists real quick.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Have you noticed that a lot of older men, even though Ron Isley has not had a hit in a while, but Charlie Wilson, they can kind of go by that uncle moniker and still have hits? Why don't older women have hits on radio?
Now, it's funny you say that because I talk about this a lot. Of course, being from Chicago, think about it. Charlie Wilson and Ronald Isley, why do you actually think that those two are, I'm not going to say relevant, but that they're doing so well right now? They got a boost in their career from someone in Chicago named Robert Kelly. And so I think that if you have someone who has a long, you know, the a huge, wonderful, successful career like Aranna Isley, like Charlie Wilson, like several other artists, but you are kind of co-signed by today's generation who's hot.
Right.
That, I think, gives you new life into your career.
And to add on about Charlie Wilson in particular, it was also Snoop Dogg who validated Charlie Wilson. He
Absolutely.
Was the one who came up with the name Uncle Charlie. He had Charlie Wilson sing the hook on his song Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
as well as on his song Sign,
yep.
which featured Justin Timberlake, and both songs were produced by Pharrell. So he kind of like had that hip-hop influence and
yep.
that hip-hop credibility and validation. So that's what is what put Charlie back on.
Do you think Charlie's living off of Urban AC now?
He is,
but at the same time, I was at the BET Awards this past June, and everybody, hands down, unanimously, people who were at the awards who also watched it on television said that Charlie gave the very best performance. And he was up there competing against the same Kendrick Lamar's and the same 2 Chainz and everybody else who went up there. So if a 60-year-old man is holding it down over these younger, more trendier artists, he's also delivering in terms of a performance and in terms
right.
of resonating and also connecting with a lot of the younger kids.
And perhaps
and
speaking
when you talk
to
about a Charlie Wilson, you're talking about somebody who is just a true performer anyway. So if you see a Charlie Wilson show today, you're like,
right.
man, what have I been missing all these years? Because
right.
while they may have co-signed him to help keep him on the map, they can't play his show. He's still working
right.
hard
Absolutely.
Every single day to make sure yeah. y'all gonna like me.
the women. Go back to your question, Kevin, are going to have to deliver in that category as well.
Absolutely.
They're going to have to bring that energy. They're going to have to bring that great voice. They're
yep.
going to have to bring the choreography. They're going to have to bring the great show. They're going to have to play the classic songs. Everything that Charlie's doing.
I was trying to picture Aretha bringing the choreography.
Leave Riri alone.
But
I mean, all they have to do is
Stephanie's
going to
have to deliver that one.
but look, all Sade has to do is turn around on tour.
Exactly.
You know, when you used to see a Sade tour and she would just turn around and everybody would go.
Sade is the anomaly, though. Sade is the only one who can disappear for 15 years
right.
and come back and people actually care. And people actually care.
But
Sade
she's...
can be gone for 15 years and sell Madison Square Garden out 4 nights in a row. She's one of
yeah.
the few artists that can do that.
Well, she's an icon, no question.
Can I ask a question, though? When was the last time any of these ladies even recorded a record? I mean, when was the last time Aretha was in the studio? I mean, and I think the same formula that they use for Charlie Wilson could work with a legendary female artist.
Aretha had a project out last year, but let me just say this to what Dwayne was saying. She does not bring the energy. She has a different kind of a show. She's a little more classic. She's a little more laid back. She's just going to sing, give you those runs, and either you love her or you don't. People like Charlie and when Ron Isley was really walking around as Mr. Biggs, these were people who really went hard to bring it, to remain relevant, to be, you know, to break the barriers across a new generation of people who did not know them. I don't see that happening right now with anybody else. It's not saying that it couldn't. It can. It's just they have to come with it just like that. And it does not hurt that someone now that's hot now is going to co-sign you. That's a big part. They're going to give you that boost, but you got to keep carrying the torch after that.
And then you have to...
Like a Beyonce or Nicki Minaj might say, we love Aretha, we love Patti, we love, you know, Gladys Knight, but are they going to do enough of that to even want to do a record with them? You know
exactly.
what I mean? And to bring
exactly.
them back into the same level.
And
that, you know... That Snoop Dogg and that Ron Isley and that R. Kelly did.
Right, and it takes a reinvention because what Ron Isley did and what Charlie Wilson did was reinvent themselves. Charlie Wilson was the lead singer of the Gap Band. Now he's Uncle Charlie. Ron Isley was the lead singer of the Isley Brothers. Then he became Mr. Big. So it was a reinvention that went with that in addition to the co-signing, in addition to just working it, your new image.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be...
Okay, can it also be in the marketing that they're... Some of these people may not be marketable to younger people, but to their original fan base. Could that be part of it?
Yeah, if you give them something to be marketable with. So if somebody co-signs them and they reinvent themselves, is possible. But I don't think that that's what their goal is. I think their goal is just survival.
And how about this a good record? Because we talk about bad collaborations all the time. You know, I remember Eric Benet and 2 Chainz, and everybody could say, why does somebody have some young rapper with some, I think me and Dwayne were talking about Mary J. teaming up with
Rick Ross with Lil Wayne.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't fit, so now we got to have a 60-year-old with a 25-year-old. Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Sometimes it doesn't work.
It can't be forced. It cannot be forced. It has to be, has to be real. It has to be authentic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So another thing I wanted to talk about, something else that's in the news today, I just heard about today, is a Warner Music executive who was arrested for embezzlement. Did you guys get that?
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danielle, I want to make sure I get her name right. I didn't write it down.
Give me the info.
She was arrested because, well, it's kind of embarrassing because a Hollywood Reporter actually, gave her props for being one of the top fundraisers for the Obama campaign. And then they found, well, they didn't find out, but then I guess Warner found out that she had been using her company or corporate credit card for luxurious trips and hotel rooms, and she was supposed to be doing that stuff for artists. At any rate, it's up to they determined that the amount was over $1 million. And
wow.
I question, how in the hell can somebody spend that kind of money? I've never worked at a label, but I would think that you'd have to have some kind of approval.
Mm-hmm. Wow, absolutely. And I mean, coming from a label background, I didn't even know they still had access to those kind of funds these days.
Yeah, I think it was over a couple of years, though.
Right.
Over a couple of years. That's a lot of money. I mean, in today's climate, with the way they've definitely cut back in terms of kind of money you have access and the amount of budgets, marketing budgets and promotion budgets.
But you're saying 10, 15 years ago would have happened.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, that would have happened.
That could have been done in six months, 10 years ago, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to edit this out. But that was, on his part, Paul, that was stupid because he bought furniture and had it delivered up to the label.
Oh, my God.
Man, don't be editing. That's funny. Everybody knows that story.
But so she went to New York.
There's some young bloods that don't know the story.
Oh, you know what? I want to tell you something else about that. But want to mention this first. The really unfortunate part about Danielle's situation is that her mother, they both had to fly to New York, and her mother turned herself in this week, and her mother had to put up her retirement fund for her bail.
Wow. Which was $1 million as well, I think, right?
I'm not sure about the amount, but it's so unfortunate the woman had to put up her life savings,
It was $1 million. The girl was set at $1 million.
Now, I wanted to...
that's $100,000.
Yeah, it had to be like 10%. Well, I want to talk about a situation. I'm not going to mention who this PD is, but there is a PD who is basically was doing his thing, and everybody at the station knew it, including the interns. Now, when the interns know what's going on, then you're not being careful about what you're doing.
Right.
So anyway, this PD is about to get reassigned. I can't say who it is, of course.
I'll tell you off the line.
You know who you're talking about, Porter?
Yeah, I know.
So I will just leave that at that. I'll just leave that as one of those things that everybody can think about. Let's talk about real quick the excellent, I thought it was an excellent video that Saturday Night Live did for Black History Month. I must have watched that 20 times. I laughed so hard when I saw that. What did you guys think of that?
I thought it was hilarious, but I thought it was true. And I absolutely, you know, the funny thing is that we get so offended so easily, so I don't really know what other people thought, but I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was true. And I actually have to applaud Saturday Night Live, because there's a time in network television where we can't even get an honorable mention.
Right.
So to bring light to, you know, the 28 reasons, and it's really just one, for Black History Month, slavery, I think that I have to applaud them for that, for even, you know, putting it out there.
And, you know, the funny thing is that right now, of course, they're very sensitive to, you know, after being busted for not having a female on there for, or female comedians on there for so long. They're going to go ahead and they're going to take the chance and they're going to do that in your face stuff. But you're absolutely right. You know, the best comedy comes from tragedy, and it's funny,
yep.
But it's true. And it was, I loved it. I had to keep watching it over and over again, because I thought this next year, we probably won't see anything like this on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
But I liked the way.
I thought it was cool.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Kevin. I thought it was cool, but I thought that what would have been a whole lot more clever is if they actually found, because I think even in more recent history, you don't even have to go all the way back to slavery to come up with 28 reasons why a black man might should get a hug. I mean, you look at the Trayvon Martin verdict, you look at black unemployment at 13% compared to 7% on the national average, you look at the city of Detroit, which is 83% black, and its issues that it's dealing with bankruptcy, crime, and unemployment. You look at the fact that black music isn't selling much these days. You look at the fact that hip-hop is even no longer ours. And so I thought that they could have actually listed 27 other reasons why, you know, your black man deserves a hug. And I think that might have made it a lot more interesting and a lot more funnier, I thought. You know, finding light in a lot of the other plights and a lot of the other issues that we're presently in, you know, dealing with in the last couple years.
Yeah. Now, Jamila, was that you that told me, speaking of Detroit, was that you that told me you bought a house in Detroit for like $3?
I bought a house I bought a building for $1,300, but believe it or not, you can buy buildings for $1 in Detroit.
Yeah.
That was you that told me this story.
You could do that. In Harlem, during the middle of the crack epidemic, you could buy brownstones for $1 in Harlem. And you see what Harlem has done since then.
Wow.
There's a lot for sale in Detroit right now. I mean, if you just want to sit on some stuff, that's where you go.
Well, I hear the investors, the Chinese investors are buying it up.
They really are.
Oh, no, I've heard from a couple of other Jewish investors who are just, Detroit is hot property to them.
Absolutely.
The owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers just spent a big grip, Dan Gilbert, buying half of Detroit.
Yeah, it's too big of a market to just, it's not going to stay that way.
Like a friend of mine who's a big real estate investor said, things will go change once they got a white mayor, and he was absolutely correct.
That
was the sign to spend your money. We're back.
Yeah, that situation was so unfortunate. That's a whole different show. I want to talk about, I want to get some input from you guys. One of the last things I want to discuss is I came up with some ideas for radio PDs, DJs, record label people to promote themselves, especially radio people who have to, of course, adhere to the corporate rules and not, you know, promote themselves, which to me makes no sense, but I do get the other side. They want to make sure that, you know, things aren't being said or done, or somebody's murdered at an event where they, you know, they didn't know about it or whatever else. I get that. But I wanted to get your input on these things I came up with to see what you think of it. So these are several ways from RadioFacts.com that you can promote yourself if you work for a radio corporation with or without their permission. One of them is at a media event, if you have an opportunity to make a quote, you can tell or say state your quote to the media person, but tell them to list you as a radio program director or a radio DJ instead of mentioning the company. Do you think that'll work?
Not really.
I was thinking that too, because they may come back and they may go ahead and mention the station anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have anything to fall back on. So scratch that. Okay, go to every event that you're invited to where you get the chance to network. You never know who will show up. You know, we get invites to everything. Like, I get invites to everything, political events, art shows, so many different things. I'm like, am I going to that? But what I notice a lot of PDs and DJs do, they don't go to a lot of events either.
Right. I think that whole going to event stuff kind of has played out. I don't think it has the same significance as it did, you know, many years ago.
I don't think there are as many events like there used to be.
They actually right. are.
That's their third that's year
events. Yeah, so many are that's open true. To the general public, you don't feel right. like...
Right. It doesn't have the cachet. It doesn't have the cachet right. that it used to have.
It doesn't have the free tickets went. In the prepaid rooms.
Right, and the VIP right. section.
Right. I'm not talking about
and all... Premium, and the premium drinks and all that other stuff.
Well, they do if you pay for them. But I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that once you go... The way that here in L.A., of course, there's no record events anymore. But... There's so many other events. And the thing is that once you go to one or two, then you start getting invited to more. That's my point. It's like you can't network. If you don't go for a long time, then you don't know what's happening. You're not invited to anything. But there are tons of events in different industries happening. And what I'm suggesting is that radio people go to events outside of radio.
How's that going to change their brand or their show, though?
It's not going to...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I remember one time I did an interview with Mike Tyson
mm-hmm.
when I was on VLS. Mike Tyson was at one of those events we did at Jacob Javits Center.
It's a Black Expo. You told me.
Yeah, Black Expo. And this is when Mike was sort of down, and he was coming back, and he was walking through.
That was most of his career, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but anyway, I put him on live. I just said, let me go for it. Well, I got suspended. And, you know, like the person I had on before was selling watercolor T-shirts, you know, inside the hall. So I thought Mike Tyson, and he was good on the interview, and I got suspended. So I think a lot of jocks are in fear of doing things and talking about things because they can't anymore. It's, you know, it's like Line of Card City.
Well, actually, that's the opposite of what I'm saying, Paul. I understand that part. I'm saying that make yourself useful in other arenas and other industries and, you know, at other... look. In other words, always be looking out for the next opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying to tie it into your...
No.
What we don't do enough of is make ourselves useful in other opportunities. And I'll say this from experience. When you have a long-standing career in one industry, you're so used to focusing on that gig and making sure that that company is satisfied and that your job is done. And it's a 24/7 job that you don't have time to prepare yourself for when something else happens. So if you're able to widen your arena
right.
while you have that gig,
right.
that's the smartest thing that you can do. But unfortunately, right. we don't look outside of, you know, for some people, unfortunately, radio, that's all and that's it. They'll never know how to do anything else.
We're reactive.
Well, Kevin, on that note, you are exactly right. That's the only way that I'm eating today.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I did 8 NBA All-Star games. I believe everybody should hustle in so many different ways if it's voiceover acting because the water well is just getting real slim.
Right.
And, yeah, I commend you for that.
Okay. Yeah, we're always reactive instead of proactive. So it's like once people are out of work, and you know, even with this, with my trade magazine, it's like there are people I never hear from. And you know, I have my group of people I talk to on a constant basis, but people I never hear from, they lose a job and then they send me the resume and tell me, hook a brother up or let me know if you hear about a job. It's like, how inclined am I to help you if you never even like send me an email or say hello, or I like that story
right.
that you did, or you know what I'm saying? So we don't step outside of the realm. A lot of times we do have the time, but we think it's going to last forever. And I'm telling you, that's the worst thing that can happen is when you don't do anything else and you have nothing and you haven't marketed. Nobody knows who you are. And then you're trying
right.
to get a job after that. So, yeah, that's why I did this.
How do you? Let's just say you do want to make those kind of steps and make those kind of, you know, expansion in your career, and suppose you're not being invited to those kind of events. How do you get yourself out there so that you are invited and that you are a part of those various different places?
You know what? You need to become, I personally think, you should become friends with a salesperson at the station.
Yep.
That's the first step. Become friends with a salesperson or be cool. Yeah. And another thing is, you know, what people really fail to do, and as an entrepreneur, I've learned this, the art of taking somebody out to lunch. You know, nobody wants to be used. So you calling somebody and it's like, give me, do this. Instead
right.
of, you know,
right.
can I take you out to lunch and, you know, just ask you a couple of questions. Nobody ever does that. So,
right.
you know.
I think another way is to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say another way, too, is establish relationships with publicists.
Yes.
Because that's where I get most of my invites from, our publicists. So I think that's a good way to stay in the loop of what's going on, is to stay on the list.
And you know what else? I don't know. There may be a thin line even with this, but if, say, for example, I'm a DJ at a station and I have a blog, all right, and I don't have the station on there in any shape, form, or fashion. I know that a lot of DJs or PDs have Facebook pages, but I have a blog, and I write about the events. You know, without my name, I mean, you can actually protect yourself in that sense that you don't have to mention the station. But once you start writing about things, then you get invited to more stuff. You make sure the right people get it. So the bottom line is that it's just like if a friend invites you to a party, several events, and you never go. After a while, they stop inviting you. It's just the opposite. If somebody invites you to something and you go, then they invite you to something else. Then you meet other people to invite you to something else. So the art of networking is to get out and just, you know, anything that's happening that you can go to and pass. Another thing is passing out cards. I've noticed people don't do that anymore. You guys have cards?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have a card, Paul? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got like 100 in my bag.
So. You know, a lot of people don't hand out cards anymore. I actually put my picture on my card. But I do real estate as well, so, you know, I definitely have to have the picture on the card. But that, the art of even handing out a card or getting a card, as soon as I get somebody's card, I take a pen with me, I write information on the back of the card. Because, of course, you forget who it is a lot of times.
You know what I noticed, too, is like today when people do events, I always get the feeling that they just throw it together. They don't really make it worth going. You know, back in the day, they had right. this special touches to it, but now it's like, come out to the club. I mean, how many times have we been to clubs? I mean, who wants to go to a club unless you're getting paid to be there, or if there's somebody there you'd like to see? But right. people don't really put in the time or effort to put on a great event. This past, last week when we had Grammy Week here, I commend Dr. Dre and Beats Music, because they actually put on an event that it was a pre-party, but it killed probably every party for the rest of the weekend, because they actually produced a show for the guests to bring awareness to the Beats Music that they just launched. So I just feel like people do not put a lot of effort into events anymore. It's just like, come through, and it's just the DJ, the music, there's no perks, no, just really nothing to it. And us, as long as we've been in a business, it's just like going to another club. So that's my opinion of it. I only really go out to events if it is to network, if it is to getting paid to host, or if it's somebody I want to see. Those are the top three reasons why I will go to an event.
Well, that's the age that we're at right now, because I'm like that too. I don't go anyplace unless, you know, I'm getting paid. I get invited to, like, rap, you know, events. And I'm like, I'm not going to be the old man in the room. I don't like that feeling, you know, of walking into the club and you're the oldest person in there. It's like, if I don't own it, or if I'm not being paid, I'm not going. But you know, what else has gotten us is social networking. Radio people are not a hot commodity anymore. It's like they want celebrities, because they know they're going to tweet the information out. They know they're going to put it on Facebook. They're going to put it on Instagram. See, with us not being able to market ourselves, we don't have the ability to do that. That's why I'm saying we have to step outside the realm. So that's probably why a lot of people don't. Like Paul was saying, there's not a lot of events. There actually is. They just don't see the value in inviting radio people if you're not going to talk about it on the air, or if you're not going to promote it.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Yeah, they're like, what do we need you there for?
Exactly.
But I always preach to the young folks, man, and the old folks too, man, it's the small steps that get you to the big places. You know, talking to small circles of people and it builds. I always say, prepare for a marathon and stop acting like you're in a sprint.
Yeah.
You know, if you take some time, and I mean, I've done a lot of panels, I've done a lot of just talking to people from Twitter, social media, and sometimes it pays off and sometimes it doesn't. But you'll find out over the course of time, it's always going to work. And building your brand and social media is just as big as, you know, going somewhere else to see somebody else, because you can get in touch with a lot of people that you never thought of, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Because I get stuff in my Facebook inbox, on Twitter, from all different types of folks, and a lot of times we build up relationships.
As a matter
just
of
on that alone.
You're doing a speech this week, right?
Yeah, tomorrow morning I'm here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, with no cell phone service at Western Kentucky University. And I do colleges from time to time. I teach two classes and do a lecture at night. And the interaction with the younger folks, because everywhere I go for the last 10 years, I give out my phone number, my email, and most of the young folks, they'll text you, but I always tell them, I can't remember you if you don't speak.
Yeah.
You know, I know the ones that I have relationships with or a conversation with, or they stand up and ask a good question during the Q&A section. But, you know, folks got to know how to stand out and how to build the relationship, because everybody on Facebook's got some message in your inbox from somebody you don't know that says, hey, what's up? You know, I mean, what's up? I don't answer that back. This is a town with a university. They got 21,000 people at this school.
Yeah.
So surprising, but
that's actually that's another route. I know people who do the college circuit. I know people who are spokespersons for hospitals, police stations, schools. I mean, there's so many other things that DJs and program directors can do besides radio. But, you know, the key now is planning ahead, because unfortunately, if you get fired from a gig today, that may be the last gig. You know,
you have to plan for your exit.
Right, absolutely. Exactly.
Almost going in the door.
Yeah. So does anybody want to talk about what they're working on before we wrap?
I know I mentioned last week that I'm working on doing the crowdfunding campaign with Radio Free. And I actually had a meeting yesterday with a studio that I'm going to partner with.
Good.
So we're looking to launch in April. I'm also working on a book and a web series on unknown facts about West Coast hip hop. So I'm sitting here now transferring a bunch of footage that I've done over the last 15 years, and then I have audio from the past 25 years. So a lot of things about the West Coast have not been written or talked about, and I'm finding a lot of golden nuggets in these interviews with a lot of the pioneers of West Coast hip hop that I'm going to put in a book and a web series.
That's great.
That's what I'm working on. That's how I'm keeping my hustle alive.
Yeah.
Forward is that? That was you in the Too Short Unsung, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention that. Things. We didn't mention that. I forgot I cut that part out last week.
Yeah.
Congratulations. What about you, Dwayne?
Thank you.
I'm working on a few projects for a couple major record labels. I'm working on a couple songs for them in terms of some promotion at radio and at video.
Yeah, you know, whoever it is, they're going to ask you why you didn't mention it.
Man, I'm going to leave it generic. I'm going to leave it generic. I'm going to leave it as generic as possible.
Okay. Paul?
Just more of the same. Like I said last week, you know, the LPFM is gearing up.
You know, I want to talk about that next week, as a matter of fact. Would you be open to talk more about that?
And I think it's a viable option, low-power FM, for a lot of folks. It's going to be another 16 to 18 months before the FCC grants some new license.
Mm-hmm.
But it's affordable, it's cheap, you can get into a market and do some work. The next thing is that they're doing a bandwidth auction, and that's something folks should look into. And a group out of Philadelphia gives folks help, Prometheus. But I always tell folks, man, the paper chase takes paperwork. So if you don't have somebody on your team that's going to fill out forms and grants, and
you know, we don't like to do that.
Specs, yeah, well, that's what you have to do to get an LPFM,
yeah,
or hire somebody to do the work. It's not like trying to get a mixtape deal and you just throw it out there,
right?
But it's worth it in the long run. And I encourage folks to, you know, if you're not planning on owning the business, you're planning to be broke sooner or later.
Right. We'll definitely talk about that more next week. And Jamila?
In addition to trying to follow in Paul's footsteps on that low power FM, you'll hear about that soon. I also am running a marketing and a management firm, the Lewis Cortez Group at lewiscortezgroup.com. Right now I'm doing some work with Central South Distribution. We have a couple of artists. One you're going to definitely hear about, L.A. Van Gogh, lavangogh.com. Doing some work with Willie Clayton, willieclayton.com, and just working on different marketing projects. And like we said earlier, not just music related, but there are some outside categories that, you know, need marketing as well. And so that's what we provide.
And I'm not going to go into detail about all the stuff that I'm doing, because I'm one of those people that believes that it's better to be done and let people talk about it later. But I am about to start school Monday, one more semester, and doing radio facts and all radio news, which is rhythmic. That is a major project for me, because I haven't talked to people on the rhythmic side for years, and I'm determined to get that done. I think that there, you know, definitely should be another blog about rhythmic radio, and, you know, specific to just that one format. I wanted to thank all you guys once again for a great show, and next week we'll talk about more great, interesting things. We're constantly getting, you know, wonderful remarks. Just got a couple of emails while we were, you know, doing this show. So I'll, you know, start passing those things on to you, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks again.
All right.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.